Y'all sound so beautiful this morning. Oh, yeah. Y'all sound so beautiful this morning. So thankful for you being here. We are going to be spending this month journeying together. We're on our crossroads together. I'm so glad that you are here with us. And we've spent this time in our worship this morning reflecting on the cross. Of course, we do this every week, don't we? We don't necessarily have all of our sermons and our preaching every Sunday on the cross, but we do have the message of the cross that we share every week as Lance led us through our mindful exhortation this morning in the Lord's Supper. We're reflecting on the cross every Sunday when we share the cup and the bread together as one body. It's the cross that has brought us here together, and so in many ways, coming to church and gathering this special day, the Lord's Day, is a part of our crossroads. God has led us here. And I'm so thankful that He has led you to be with us today. I want to say a special thank you. Last Sunday, we had a very special day where we had our launch day for our Safe Families program, a part of our involvement that we have had with Darren Cox and the great work that he is doing in our city in caring for our young people, for unaccompanied youth, and for homeless youth of the city of Abilene. And those of you who were here last Sunday will remember that we had a conversation together with Emily Cole and with Darren Cox about the work that they're doing. And I just have to say, many of you signed up, many of you got applications. All of you, I hope, have at least heard and received a form. You can still receive that and learn more about that. But we are reaching out into our city, and specifically, we're trying to find children in our city and reach children in our city that have needs, that are dealing with some different crises and some different challenges. And so I'm so excited for those of you. Thank you, those of you who signed up. Thank you for those of you this Wednesday who are starting training and learning and becoming a part of the Safe Family program. I didn't mention last Sunday, but I need to tell you that this initiative of our church doing this is very personal to me, and it really fulfills a prayer of mine, because many years ago, whenever my parents were children and school age, cities did not have homeless liaisons. Schools did not have men who were doing the work like what Darren's doing with our city and with our children. But there were still needs back then. And I told Darren this, and I told Emily this whenever I had been visiting with them, that both of my parents came from homes and situations where they would have qualified for this program. In fact, it was the love and the compassion of a family that reached out to my mother so that she lived with a family so that she could graduate high school while they were going through some different challenges in my mother's family. There are people who have needs, and I know that we all sometimes forget that, even when we come here together as the church. We know that we have real-life needs. There are real-life challenges that are going on every day, and we need Jesus to be present there. Part of the way that we do that is that He's sending you and I to show up. So I'm just so thankful. I just want to extend my thanks to you, church. Thank you so much for joining in that. If you're still thinking about that and prayerful, considering different ways, there's a lot of different ways that you can become involved with that. And myself, the rest of our ministry staff here, the elders, would be happy to share with you more about that. We're looking to see Jesus in our community. See Jesus and those that are around us. And God is sending you to be Jesus to those around us. You cannot get there, though, without first going to the cross. That's the only way you can get there. Maybe you've been praying to God. Maybe you've been asking and thinking to yourself, "Man, I want to become more like Christ. I want to be closer to Him. I want to draw nearer to Him." The road to the cross is the way that you draw nearer to Jesus. This is the very center of our faith. And so we're going to be spending time making this journey together for these next few weeks. I want you to notice the text again that Greg read for us from Philippians chapter 2. And hear these words again from Paul to the church here. "Therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Years ago, I may have shared this story before, but it's one that I really like. And years ago, our daughter was going through a classic teenage rebellion phase, and her obsession at that time wasn't boys, even though that's a pretty predictable go-to. Her obsession at that time was social media. And thankfully, that has passed away and no one uses it anymore. We've all moved on from that. But it was just taking up all of her time and attention and focus. And it was to take her electronic device away. I felt like each time that her body kind of had a little bit of a collapse, like, you know, when we pulled it away from her. And I remember having a conversation with her. I said, "Allison, honey, you know, this isn't healthy. If it hurts this much to have something taken away from you, if that's, honey, that's often signs that's unhealthy. And that means we need to have some boundaries, because that thing, sometimes it's a possession, right? In this case, it was. This device was her obsession here. And it was an idol in her life." And so we kind of had this conversation together about that. And Caleb, our youngest son, was about 8 years old at that time. And he felt the need. You know, when you live in a preacher's family, sometimes people just feel the need to come forward, you know. And he was listening to this conversation going on with his sister and dad. And he came to us and he said, "You know, Dad, I think that's what's happening with me in Star Wars." And I think afterwards he was like, "Boy, that felt really good to get off my chest. You know, I'm going to go outside and play." You know, we have these attachments in our lives. A lot of them we're not even aware of. You know, we don't necessarily notice those things. Especially, there's some things that just take your time and you don't even realize it. You don't realize how much time is going to it. You don't realize how much your mind is kind of going to that place. You may be present with your family or present at work or in different settings, but your mind is constantly moving towards maybe certain things or certain relationships or certain activities. And what we find so often, whether, you know, it often our jobs or our families, our relationships, these aren't bad things in themselves, but any time that our attachment or our need for them, the things that we own, things like that, any time that our need for them starts to become the focus or center of our lives. We have need for setting some healthy boundaries. We have need to kind of examine our lives and go through and go, where is all of my time and attention and money and resources going? And where am I finding my identity? Because often it's our attachments that really our identity is tied to. That's why sometimes people go through a crisis whenever they're no longer at the same job that they've been at for 20 or more years, or whenever a relationship changes and they find themselves in some kind of crisis, or they go through just another phase of life, or illness comes and they can't do what they once did because they used to be a really active and outgoing person and doing this activity and this travel and all these things. And so a crisis of identity will hit because that thing or that relationship had moved to the very core of how they saw who they were. What Paul does in his plea to the church here is to point us to the most significant attachment of our lives, that being Jesus. And it's poetic and beautiful. If you've had any encouragement from being with Jesus, from being attached to Him, comfort from His love. What has walking with Jesus done with your life? How have you experienced that? Paul's plea to the church is a continual plea, and really the cross is this continual plea to detach from those things that are not from God and that are not meant to be at your center, but Christian, that Christ be moved continually at the center of your life. And so he describes in poetic form in this classic Christian hymn there that starts there in verse 6 when he says, "And have this same mindset in you which was also in Christ Jesus." And he starts to describe how Jesus descended. How Jesus let go and left heaven. How he was willing to give up all the glory and splendor and majesty and power and all that was truly His, and willing to become human, willing to let go of all of those rights of heaven, equality with God. Heather and I traveled this week. I had a wedding that I did. And we flew to the destination and flew back. And we don't do a whole lot of that. And we were kind of... Heather does okay on flying. She did really good, actually. But we were noticing how many people were traveling with their babies and young children. And we were just kind of in awe of them. We were like, wow, y'all are much better at this than we are. You are much more brave than us. You have a child with you. And what happens? Naturally, you have a baby. They have different needs that come up. They're screaming. They're crying. They have to go to the bathroom. They have all those different things that are going on. And we all think to ourselves in those moments when we're sitting across the aisle, boy, I wish I was right there right now. Just an incredible experience. Actually, stewardess, can you put me right beside them? That's really what I want right now. We want to be removed from those things, don't we? What was even better is the lady who was sitting right beside Heather. I like to sit in the aisle so I can stretch my legs out. And then Heather was beside me, and then the lady sitting beside us in the window seat. It wasn't until we were midway through the flight that she started to confess to Heather, "I'm a nervous flyer." And we realized that was an understatement. As the flight went on, and she was ordering drinks to try to calm down, and as the plane was making its descent, and it had a little bit of rough spots here and there, she was shouting and let out a lot of colorful words, and I was just trying to hold in as I'm sitting beside Heather. Who in the world would ever think to themselves, I want to live through the most uncomfortable things that I can think of. Having a baby is a lot of work, but no one says, you know what, I want to become helpless again. I want to be helpless. I want to be completely dependent and vulnerable. I want to let go of all the position that I have, the strength that I have, the status that I have. I want to lay all of that aside so I can be completely vulnerable and find my identity in nothing but knowing that God has got me. A baby can't survive without the care of the parents or those that are around them for everything, right? Or that idea of descent into the things that we're afraid of or the things that are most difficult for us. And Paul incredibly says that Jesus willingly, he didn't think of his power and position as something that, like the lady who was sitting beside us, she wanted to just grab in and just hold on to the airplane. And Paul says that he didn't see that position. Jesus didn't see that. He is equal status, equal rights, equal power, all the authority of heaven. It's for him. And yet Jesus says, he makes the willful choice to let go of it, to be humiliated, to be put in this vulnerable, broken, you know, taking on flesh and blood and struggle, loss after loss after loss. Remember the first temptation story that we have in Scripture? Genesis chapter 3, the serpent before Adam and Eve. Remember how the conversation goes about the tree that they were not supposed to eat from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He tells them a lie first. He says, you surely will not die. And then he says, let me tell you what will happen. And this is really where the temptation came in. If you eat of it, you will not die. You will become like God. That was the first temptation. To become like God. Here's Jesus, who is God. He is God. Who makes the willful choice to surrender those rights and privileges and to choose our flesh and to choose to be one with us. And then in his mortal body, Jesus, the God-man, walks the earth, and at the very beginning of his ministry, Satan appears to him in the wilderness, and he offers him three temptations, and the final temptation that comes to him there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, Satan comes to him and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. And all of its glory and all of the splendor. And you remember what Satan says to Jesus here. All of this will be yours. What? If you just bow down and worship me. You can have all of this power. You can have all of this status. All of these kingdoms. All you have to do is worship me. Satan knows this human desire and this human temptation and this human tendency. We are all enamored with power and prestige and status and recognition, and we crave it. And we obsess over it. And our lives become attached to these things that we think will try to meet that for us. And Jesus shows us in his life and in his journey and in his path to the cross that everything about knowing God and serving God and clinging to God and having God at the center means giving those things up. Means releasing and letting go. So that what we have is God Himself. We make this journey of losing ourselves, of dying to ourselves, so that we can find life in God alone. And this is just what we find here. The climax leading to this verse here in verse 8. The climax of Jesus' obedience is not that He became human, which would seem enough to any of us. Not that He became vulnerable or any of those things, or that He faced temptation. It's that He became obedient to death. He gave up everything. He held on to nothing in order to take us, even death, on the cross. What are those things that our lives are attached to? What are the things that we find ourselves gravitating towards that are pulling us away from the Lord? We have these crossroads in our lives. We face them every day, choices that we make, decisions, time, energy. I want us to take just a few moments this morning, and I want us to have some time to share right with those that are around you. Or if you feel the need to go to an elder or elder's wife, I want you to take some time right now and maybe share some of your crossroads story. Maybe even coming here today was a crossroads for you. Making that decision, and we're thankful, and we want to encourage you as you make that step. So we're going to have a few minutes to share right now, and I invite you to share a little bit about your cross story. Maybe it was when you were baptized. Maybe it was a struggle that you're facing right now in your life. Maybe it's strength that you're finding from making this journey together as a family of God. Let's take some moments right now, and then in just a few moments I'll lead a prayer, and we'll pray these things together. Let's take a moment and share. You can get up, you can move around. Elders, wives, I invite you to find someone right now, go to them. All right. I want to lift up a prayer over the things that we've shared right now. The reason why I wanted us to do this for just a little, I know this is uncomfortable. Part of a preacher's job is to make people feel uncomfortable, so that's why we had to do that. But no, I want to reinforce something very important when we talk about our crossroads, our following Jesus. You are making a personal decision every day, personal choices, but you are not doing them alone. When we talk about following Jesus to the cross, we are not talking about a lonely road. We are talking about a journey that the church makes together. And we need that energy. We need that reminder. We need to rekindle continually that spirit of what's going on in our brother's life, our sister's life, what's going on in the life of the family here at Hillcrest, so that we can be a strength to each other. So I want to continue to encourage that conversation beyond these walls, beyond this time that we have here. Be checking in with one another, be talking with one another, and be praying together. It's God's delight, it's Jesus' delight when the church is coming together and being a strength to one another. Let's have a prayer right now together. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for giving us this family. God, some of us come here from different journeys, different roads. Some of us have come here this morning by ourselves. Some of us have come here today as married couples, Lord. Some of us have come here today with children or grandchildren. God, some of us have come here today carrying some baggage and some burdens in pain in our lives, Lord. Help us to be able to face these things together, Lord. Help us to be united in heart and in mind and in love together. with Jesus, just as Paul pleads for the church here. God, it's our desire to meet you at the cross so that we can become Jesus. That your Spirit move amongst us. That you would lead us away from our selfish desires until we find ourselves in you. Father, hear this prayer as we lift it up to you from our one heart together. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the church said, Amen. Otis.